Stormfront. I'm your host, Sean Black, and it is a Tuesday, the 14th of December, counting down to Christmas. And my co-hosts today, of course, are, as always, J.S. and Patrick Slattery, and our special guest, Andy Hitchcock. Good morning, Andy. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Don. Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Patrick and Jay. It's always great to do this monthly joint show together. And we were talking just before we went on air, folks. I've got a clip that I played on my Limey show that went out today, but I thought it'd be very interesting to hear the Stormfront panel's take on it, because I listen to Stormfront every day. So I'm going to play it now. This is from the Alex Jones show on last Thursday with an Israeli guest called Gal Shalev. Now, it's only about a minute, so I'm just going to play it now. Here we go, folks.
Yeah, look, I mean, it's all over the world. We can't really say it's just in Israel. It's just Israel's like the spearheaded, like it's the spearhead. So like we were the first to vaccinate people. We were the first to vaccinate pregnant women. We were the first to vaccinate kids. But I mean, it's happening everywhere else. I can't say.
No, you're right. It's happening everywhere. But it is interesting that it's like particularly Israel.
Yeah, I mean, I can't even try and imagine. I mean, look, if we want to get down deep the rabbit hole, I mean, all the major positions in the CDC, in Pfizer, and all these companies that are pushing this, all the politics, they're all Jewish. So I mean, I'm not gonna you know, say the craziest things, but I'm just saying, like, it's pretty weird to see that all these people are Jewish, and they're doing this to the Jewish state. So there's a massive plan here, and you know it. I mean, Alex, you've been talking about it for you know, two decades at least. And
yeah, stay there. We're right back, my friend. Stay with us. Gal Shalev's our guest.
So there's the clip, gentlemen. So I'll hand back to you, Don, to comment and hand it over to the panel.
What a coincidence. I mean, Don, are you there? Do you have a mic, a mute issue? I'll just run with it for a second. You know, it is, there is the issue that... you look at the CDC, you look at the Brandon administration, whatever we want to call them. You look at the leadership of Pfizer and Moderna, and you do just see so many Jews. And it's not as if they're all Jewish, but without if you were to subtract all those Jews from the equation, you don't have much of an equation left. No, this stuff doesn't. I think you could make the case that this stuff just doesn't happen without Jews. So you've got that. But then, of course, you've got everything that's going on in Israel that they are vaccinating themselves. And there's one of two explanations, and I think maybe there's more. One is that Jews are they do kind of have a tendency towards paranoia, and they do buy their own – they drink their own Kool-Aid. I mean, most Jews do tend to believe in the Holocaust, for instance, and take it very, very seriously. And so for the rank-and-file Jew, including the rank-and-file Israeli, would they be freaked out about this this deadly virus that's going to kill them all? They may very well be. And so that might be the main explanation. And it may well be that the Israelis are doing great harm to their own people just because Israeli people and maybe the Israeli leadership are so freaked out and are to a large extent buying into all of this corona narrative. I think that's perfectly plausible. There are others who might say that, well, actually the batches of vaccinations going to Israel are probably a saline solution and whatnot. And, you know, it is possible that the batches that are going to this country or that country, this part of the world or this part of a given, you know, geographical area, they're not necessarily all the same. And, you know, Japan had the experience of pointing out certain Moderna batches had this aspect to them, and others had that aspect. They had this foreign material, that, you know, metallic filings or whatever in some batches. And so it could be a variety of things. What do you all make of this Israeli man's his points?
Can I just jump in very quickly? And the only reason that I do is obviously that was 1 minute from about a 40-minute episode. It's worth listening to, but he actually said that he had family members that had been injured by the vaccine. So I understand that the schools of thought out there, and it's always... I've got something that I can bring up later, because I don't know if any of you have heard of the Hutschnecker report. And Hutschnecker was a doctor, and he was a psychiatrist, and he even treated President Nixon. And he published this report in the 1970s. I've got about 3 pages in my book on it, all about what you said about paranoia amongst the Jewish community. And I can read from that if any of you would like. But I'll hand now over to Jay, and then, you know, if Jay wants to see if... Oh, Don's back. Don, you go ahead.
No, go ahead.
And I would like to hear that, Andy.
Okay. Yeah, well, I'll just grab the book, and while I do that, Don, any comments?
Well, no. I think it's a interesting subject, and what we do know about Israel and what may be going on there is pretty fascinating. But go ahead.
Right, I've just got it here in my book. Now, if it's about 3 pages, probably take about 3 or 4 minutes to read, but if any of you want to jump in at some point, this is in the Synagogue of Satan. 1972, the October 25th edition of Psychiatric News, published by the American Psychiatric Association, states, "Evidence that Jews are carriers of schizophrenia is disclosed in a paper prepared for the American Journal of Psychiatry by Dr. Arnold A. Hutschnecker, the New York psychiatrist who once treated President Nixon. In a study entitled Mental Illness, the Jewish Disease, Dr. Hutschnecker said that although all Jews are not mentally ill, mental illness is highly contagious and Jews are the principal sources of infection. Dr. Hutschnecker stated that every Jew is born with the seeds of schizophrenia, and it is this fact that accounts for the worldwide persecution of Jews. The world would be more compassionate toward the Jews if it was generally realised that Jews are not responsible for their condition, Dr. Hutschnecker said. Schizophrenia is the fact that creates in Jews a compulsive desire for persecution. Dr. Hutschnecker pointed out that mental illness peculiar to Jews is manifested by their inability to differentiate between right and wrong. He said that although Jewish canonical law recognizes the virtues of patience, humility, and integrity, Jews are aggressive, vindictive, and dishonest. While Jews attack non-Jewish Americans for racism, Israel is the most racist country in the world, Dr. Hutschnecker said. Jews, according to Dr. Hutschnecker, display their mental illness through their paranoia. He explained that the paranoiac not only imagines that he is being persecuted, but deliberately creates situations which will make persecution a reality. Dr. Hutschnecker said that all a person need to do to see Jewish paranoia in action is to ride on the New York subway. 9 times out of 10, he said, the one who pushes you out of the way will be a Jew. The Jew hopes you will retaliate in kind, and when you do, he can tell himself you are anti-Semitic. During World War II, Dr. Hutschnecker said, Jewish leaders in England and the United States knew about the terrible massacre of the Jews by the Nazis. But, he stated, when State Department officials wanted to speak out against the massacre, they were silenced by organised Jewry. Organised Jewry, he said, wanted the massacre to continue in order to arouse the world's sympathy. Dr. Hutschnecker likened the Jewish need to be persecuted to the kind of insanity where the afflicted person mutilates himself. He said that those who mutilate themselves do so because they want sympathy for themselves. But, he added, such persons reveal their insanity by disfiguring themselves in such a way as to arouse revulsion rather than sympathy. Dr. Hutschnecker noted that the incidence of mental illness has increased in the United States in direct proportion to the increase in the Jewish population. The great Jewish migration to the United States began at the end of the 19th century, Dr. Hutchnecker said. In 1900, there were 1,058,135 Jews in the United States. In 1970, there were 5,868,555, an increase of around 455%. In 1900, there were 62,112 persons confined in public mental hospitals in the United States. In 1970, there were 339,027, an increase of 445%. In the same period, the U.S. population rose from 76,212,368 to 203,211,926, an increase of 166%. Prior to the influx of Jews from Europe, the United States was a mentally healthy nation, but this is no longer true. Dr. Hutchnecker substantiated his claim that the United States was no longer a mentally healthy nation by quoting Dr. David Rosenthal, chief of the Laboratory of Psychology at the National Institute of Mental Health, who recently estimated that more than 60 million people in the United States suffer from some form of schizophrenic spectrum disorder. Noting that Dr. Rosenthal is Jewish, Dr. Hutchnecker said that Jews seem to take a perverse pride in the spread of mental illness. Dr. Hutchnecker said that the word schizophrenia was given to mental disease by Dr. Eugen Bleuler, a Swiss psychiatrist, in 1911. Prior to that, it had been known as dementia praecox, the name used by its discoverer, Dr. Emil Kraepelin. Later, according to Dr. Hutchnecker, the same disease was given the name neurosis by Dr. Sigmund Freud. The symptoms of schizophrenia were recognized almost simultaneously by Bleuler, Kraepelin, and Freud at a time when Jews were moving into the affluent middle class, Dr. Hutchnecker said. Previously, they had been ignored as a social and racial entity by the physicians of that era. They became clinically important when they began to intermingle with non-Jews. Dr. Hutchnecker said that research by Dr. Jacques S. Gottlieb of Wayne State University indicates that schizophrenia is caused by deformity in the alpha-2 globulin protein, which in schizophrenics is corkscrew-shaped. The deformed protein is apparently caused by a virus, which Dr. Hutchnecker believes Jews transmit to non-Jews with whom they come in contact. He said that because those descended from Western European peoples have not built up an immunity to the virus, they are particularly vulnerable to the disease. There is no doubt in my mind, Dr. Hutchnecker said, that Jews have infected the American people with schizophrenia. Jews are carriers of the disease, and it will reach epidemic proportions unless science develops a vaccine, interesting, to counteract it. And I also believe that Dr. Hutchnecker is Jewish. So that's the a sort of summary of the study, if you like. So I'll hand back to Don and the panel.
I think that's absolutely fascinating. Now we know why the Jews drive us crazy.
It's funny, you know. I think there is a genetic predisposition for schizophrenia, and you know, Jews tend to have that. I think the Irish also tend to have that. Honestly,
you said it's a genetic predisposition, right?
I think there is a genetic predisposition. Yeah. You know, there's been studies of identical twins. And if one identical twin has it, then there's something like, you know, I don't know, 40%, 60%, somewhere around half, that the other will have it as well, which would indicate a predisposition, but not a certainty, right? That, you know, if you can have the identical genome with someone and that person gets schizophrenia, you might not get it. So there is probably multi-factor, but having the predisposition to it, makes it more likely. And I'm sure there's a lot more research and needs to be done. So I don't think it's a virus. I don't think we're catching schizophrenia from Jews, but I don't think we're catching it from Jews, but I do think they're driving us crazy.
That's for sure.
They're driving me crazy. I get along very well with Jews. And I think I think they can be very funny and smart and everything, but obviously what they're doing as a group through their group behavior to our societies is really creating all sorts of massive mental problems in our societies. That's for sure. You look at America, tell me America's not dying. Tell me America's not sick and dying. and why is it sick and dying? And it's, and you know, you can look at symptom after symptom, whether it's massive immigration, whether it's race hatred of, you know, maybe self hatred by whites, whether it's, you know, the whole response to the corona apocalypse, and you know, point after point, you go down and you say, well, homosexuality, well, it's, you know, the Jews are promoting it. And so, yeah, they are driving us crazy. And I don't mean to be mean, because I'm a boomer and I'm totally not racist. But, you know, at the same time, I think facts are facts. They're driving our societies crazy.
It's interesting because I've got Dr. Hutchnecker's, he went on for a long time, guys. He lived to the age of 102. He was born on the 13th of May, 1898. And he passed away on the 28th of December of 2000. It says that he was an Austrian-American medical doctor with a specialisation in psychiatry. He was born and grew up in Austria. He served in the Austro-Hungarian Army during World War I. He then studied medicine at Humboldt University Berlin, specialising in psychiatry, as I said. He opened a medical practice in Berlin. He became a vocal critic of Adolf Hitler's National Socialist Government and emigrated to the United States in 1938 and settled in New York City, where he obtained a license to practice internal medicine and psychiatry. Among his patients was Richard Nixon. He also advised Nixon on childcare policy, presenting a plan promoting daycare for preschool children in lower economic neighborhoods. He also developed a reputation and wrote articles on the psychology of leadership and advised Gerald Ford. He published a number of books, of which The Will to Live became a bestseller. Hutchnecker was in the news when he wrote that politicians should be required to take psychiatric examination before running for office. He also suggested that all children be given a test to determine the likelihood of criminal behaviour. And as I say, he died on the 28th of December 2000 in Sherman, Connecticut. And then it's got a few lists of his publications. And of course, you know, this one isn't listed. Surprise, surprise. And there is an obituary, but it's a New York Times one, so I can't open that because it's behind the paywall.
Well, I think that's very interesting. Yeah.
Well, the idea, but as I get all of this, the idea that mental illness can be contagious is rather interesting, but it seems I've never even considered the idea that mental any kind of mental condition can be contagious.
Psychoanalysis that was founded by Sigmund Freud, I mean, it's been proven that it's just a bunch of Jewish fantasy, and it sounds like this other Jew, Hutchnecker, he's probably equally deluded when it comes to psychoanalysis.
Yeah, I don't know if any of you ever used to watch The Sopranos, but there was one time when Livia Soprano, Tony Soprano's mother, finds out he's been seeing a psychiatrist. She says, "That's just a racket for the Jews," which is quite a funny remark. But I think what interests me, I mean, you reference the Holocaust and what have you. Now, if I was Jewish and I'd, you know, was aware of the fact that if you question an official line that has been changed over time, for example, you know, the stories of soap and lampshades are now debunked by the Yad Vashem Museum, I believe, in Israel, but that's not widely reported. But I'd be quite annoyed that they would have to jail people for disputing a claimed historical narrative, because I'd be like, well, you know, that makes me look stupid. It makes it look like it's not true if you're going to jail people for having a different opinion. And what concerns me, this is why I like it when people step forward, when you get the likes of, you know, Ron Unz setting up Unz.com, which is a very open free speech platform with a lot of good writers on there. And he clearly puts the truth at the forefront. And then you've got this Gal Shalev, who, you know, said what he said there. And he's just interested to know what's going on. And when these people come out, we give them a voice. And that...
In tropical climes at a certain times of day, When all the citizens retire to tear their clothes off and perspire, it's one of those rules that the greatest fools obey. Because the sun is much too sultry and one must avoid its ultraviolet rays. That's natives. The natives grieve when white...
As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have, do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up?
Update for December 2021. The Commander memberships that we have been offering have all been upgraded by Dr. Piazza to Founder memberships, a $60,000 value for a $500 donation to RBN. To get this deal, you will need to request and pay for two memberships. So find a friend or loved one that's interested and take advantage of this amazing opportunity. RBN will remind you on the air till December 30th at midnight.
See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
To find romance, and as I look, I wouldn't die.
And when these people come out, I think it's important that we give them a voice, and that the problems that we have is because, as Patrick said, there's so much involvement of these people in things like the Biden administration. As Gal Shalev said himself, the biggest problem facing us all around the world at the moment is if they want to forcibly get these vaccines into us that we know have caused so much harm and so many deaths. And you asked the question why there's such a Jewish involvement in this, but we need to also, as Patrick knows, having he has several callers on his National Bugle show that are Jewish, and if we just throw the baby out with the bathwater, then these people aren't going to have any reason to sort of speak out against this elite, if you like, what Henry Ford called the international Jew. They've got no reason to do so if they're just going to be lumped in the same with those people. But unfortunately, not enough of them do come forward, and I don't understand why, because, you know, they're not all Rothschilds, you know, they're not all living in mansions around the world and stuff. Many of them are doing, you know, more regular jobs. And there does tend to be, obviously, if you look at the billionaires and all this, there is a greater representation of them, but it's not all of them. And it's a shame that the ones that aren't making the money that these elite ones are don't just come out and say, you know what, you're not going to hide behind me and claim anything said about you is anti-Semitic, because I'm not getting all your money and all your power, and unfortunately not enough of them do. And that would be my point. So it's always encouraging when people speak out, and that's why I always give them a voice when they do. But Patrick, any thoughts on that?
There are, you know, a lot of people, and people includes Jews. There are people who, more than a group interest, more than maintaining a group narrative, want to be precise, want to be exact, want to be accurate. Maybe it's a minority, but you have people like that. And I remember, you know, I frequently talked about Professor Stephen F. Cohen. I think he wants to be accurate. I think he's got an ego, or had an ego, and he wanted to be accurate. He didn't want people to go back and look at his books and look at his articles about Russia and have it be pointed out that he was wrong in the past. He wanted to be accurate. I think Glenn Greenwald, I mean, you know, he's our favorite gay Jew, I guess, but he tries to be accurate, and it doesn't matter that he's now persona non grata among progressives. You know, he's somebody who used to be a frequent guest on Amy Goodman's Democracy Now, and now he's more frequently on Tucker Carlson Tonight. There are these people who, including Jews, who want to be very accurate, want to be correct, and you know, we shouldn't dismiss them simply because they're Jewish. And some of them, you know, you got somebody like Ron Unz, who created a site, and it is a legitimate free speech site, and he's done a lot of stellar work and research. And you know, we really cannot have Jewish leadership in our, we can't rely on Jewish leadership, but there are Jews who do excellent work, and there's nothing wrong with recognizing that and referencing it.
Yeah, like we had mentioned yesterday, David Cole, the young Jewish activist who wanted to investigate what really happened during the Holocaust at Auschwitz, and he did a very independent and objective investigation and found that it was mostly a lie. I mean, of course, Jews were confined to these concentration camps, just as Japanese Americans were confined to concentration camps here in America after the war broke out, because there was a concern about the sympathy for their mother nation. But I should mention, yesterday I brought up the name Alex O'Day, and I was asking if you guys had heard of him, and I'd forgotten about him. I brought Alex O'Day's name up in conjunction with the $25,000 bounty that the Jewish Defense League put on this young Jewish kid's head for denying the Holocaust. And I mentioned how the Jewish Defense League was considered by the FBI a terrorist group because I looked it up, because the JDL had bombed the headquarters of the American Arab Anti-Discrimination Group. And it was Alex O'Day, who was a Palestinian Christian, who was assassinated by this bomb when it exploded when he went to open up the office door. And three members of the Jewish Defense League were identified as suspects, but they immediately flew to Israel, where there is no treaty to bring them to justice.
I've got something here on that. I found that in my book, 1985. On October the 11th, the head of the Arab American Anti-Discrimination Committee, the AADC, Alex O'Day, is killed by a bomb as he opened the door to his office. The responsibility for this attack was the Jewish Defense League, the JDL, whose antics were preceded by inflammatory press statements and public demonstrations orchestrated by fake Nazi Mordecai Levy, who is now leading the Jewish Defense Organization, the JDO. The JDL had already maimed and killed before with their terrorist bombs, and in the case of Alex O'Day, their chairman, Irv Rubin, stated,
"Of insanity." dreams cannot last long.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cyber crimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With PatriotInternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, PatriotInternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from PatriotInternet.com. Visit PatriotInternet.com today.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
I've got those weary 20th century looks.
The JBL had already maimed and killed before with their terrorist bombs, and in the case of Alex O'Day, their chairman, Irv Rubin, stated, "I have no tears for Mr. O'Day. He got exactly what he deserved." This may explain FBI Director William Webster's speech to the National Press Club in December of 1985, when he admitted that the Jewish underground had become the primary terrorist threat to the United States. The FBI subsequently listed American-born JDL members who lived on an Israel kibbutz in Kiryat Arba. These were Kevin Fuchs, Andy Green, and Bob Manning as suspects in 25 terrorist attacks inside the United States. And the other thing that I've got for you is Patrick mentioned Amy Goodman, and here's another one that you'll be familiar with. This is when Amy Goodman interviewed former Israeli minister Shulamit Aloni, and I'm just going to open this with VLC so it comes out a bit louder, so just bear with me while it opens up, and here we go.
Yours is a voice of criticism we don't often hear in the United States. Often when there is dissent expressed in the United States against policies of the Israeli government, people here are called anti-Semitic. What is your response to that as an Israeli Jew?
Well, it's a trick. We always use it. When from Europe somebody is criticizing Israel, then we bring up the Holocaust. When in this country people are criticizing Israel, then they are anti-Semitic. And the organization is strong and has a lot of money. And the ties between Israel and the American Jewish establishment are very strong, and they are strong in this country. As you know, they have power, which it's okay. They are talented people, and they have power, money, and media, and other things. And their attitude is Israel, my country, right or wrong, the identification. And they are not ready to hear criticism. And it's very easy to blame people who criticize certain acts of the Israeli government as anti-Semitic, and to bring up the Holocaust and the suffering of the Jewish people, and that justifies everything we do to the Palestinians.
There you go. And then it says Shulamit Aloni founded the Israeli left-wing party RATS. In 1992, RATS merged with two other socialist parties to form Meretz, of which Aloni became the leader. Meretz is a member of the... Oh, sorry, that was... I was just trying to read it quickly. Clip used with permission from Democracy Now, as Patrick said. I'll drop that video in our chat. Back to you, Don. Any comments?
Well, I can mention, you know, back in 1984, when I went to the Institute for Historical Reviews conference in Huntington Beach, California... I actually had a fist fight with Irv Rubin, and I think I prevailed because he was trying to get in, break in through the entrance, and I was standing there with fist flailing and prevented Irv Rubin from getting in there.
That's fascinating. Yeah, that is really...
Go ahead, Pat. I would like to see that.
I'd like to get Mark Weber on sometime to describe it. And General Major Otto Ernst Rehmer was there. He's famous for saving the day in the July assassination attempt against Hitler. And General Rehmer said, "I deserved an Iron Cross for bravery." So I take that as I've been legitimately awarded the Iron Cross.
Would you like to hear? Go ahead, Patrick. Sorry.
Well, I was just going to say, I heard Amy Goodman's voice on it. I referenced Amy Goodman earlier in the show, or at least Democracy Now! Earlier in the show. And I used to listen to her show every day during the months and few years after 9/11 and the invasion of Iraq. You had Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman was a very good source for news regarding the wars. It was a good source of news regarding the Patriot Act. And she had some interesting guests. Paul Craig Roberts. I became familiar with Paul Craig Roberts through her site So she would have, at least from time to time, she'd have people who nowadays would be much more closely aligned with us. But, you know, she's a Chomskyite, and I would not put her in the category of Stephen F. Cohen or, who's Max Blumenthal or some of these others. I do think that she is an ethnic activist. But, there was a period of time where her view of Jewish interests coincided with on certain issues with my view of, say, American interests or human interests. She was against the invasions of not just Iraq, but really I think Afghanistan too, and was against the Patriot Act and a lot of the freaking out regarding the war on terror. There were Jews who and even with Israel. I mean, she could have a discussion like that with that Israeli guest of hers, because a lot of Jews look at what's going on in Israel as attracting a lot of unnecessary attention to Jewish behavior. And there are a lot of Jews, I think a lot of Chomskyites, who see the you know, the policies of Israel, both domestic and foreign, as being against Jewish interests. Maybe that's because they have more of a diaspora-oriented, diaspora-based view of Jewish interests. So she was interesting, but later in the decade, maybe early in the Obama years, she became, the program became basically unlistenable. They had, you know, she was always going on the whole race hoax thing. She supported the no snitching movement to protect black criminals. There was just a lot of weird things. And I think pretty much the last straw was when she had on a non-Jewish professor from Harvard Law School. I think it was Lawrence Lessig and Glenn Greenwald. And they were having a discussion of all of the massive white privilege that Elena Kagan was involved in hiring all of these white professors to Harvard Law School. And of course, I did a research project into that and was able to demonstrate that, in fact, most of these whites were Jews. And it was a thoroughly dishonest discussion. Now Glenn Greenwald didn't point out that dishonesty. I wish he had, but you know, you can't count on – that's the thing. You can't count on even the honest Jews to sometimes make points, that type of point. But he was attacking Elena Kagan for her judicial positions. But, you know, but Amy Goodman was going along with this whole thing about white privilege, you know. And so I hear Amy Goodman's voice. That's what it makes me think of. I'll just kick it back to you guys.
Thanks, Patrick. Yeah, just very quickly on that. One thing that I imagine that they didn't discuss, you mentioned Harvard and Noel Ignatieff. And this was from HarvardMagazine.com, 2002, from a book by Bernstein Singley, When Race Becomes Real, Black and White Writers Confront Their Personal Histories. And this is what Professor Noel Ignatieff said. The goal of abolishing the white race is on its face so desirable that some may find it hard to believe that it could incur any opposition other than from committed white supremacists. Keep bashing the dead white males and the live ones, and the females too, until the social construct known as the white race is destroyed, not deconstructed, but destroyed. And then next up we've got, if you are a white male, you don't deserve to live. You are a cancer. You're a disease. White males have never contributed anything positive to the world. And then next, these are all Noel Ignatieff. The key to solving the social problems of our age is to abolish the white race. Until that task is accomplished, even partial reform will prove elusive because white influence permeates every issue in U.S. society, whether domestic or foreign. Then next, treason to whiteness is loyalty to humanity. And these are all off azquotes.com. And I point this out because, again, if we just change the term the white race there and we put in another race like the Jews or, you know, the Arabs or something like that, you know, this would be looked at as hate speech. But it's not looked at as hate speech when it's directed at white people. And again, this is why I call on people in the Jewish community. You know, why haven't people in that community come out and said, you know, this is not right, this guy coming and saying that sort of stuff? And it tars me because I'm part of that community. And so I'm going to speak out because it's not, you know, it's not right what he's doing. And the other thing that I'd just like to play very quickly, this is just 1 minute and you all know it, it's Barbara Lerner-Specter. And the reason that I play this is because in the UK recently, we've had all sorts of, people accosting sort of Jews on the streets. We had someone driving around, I think earlier this year or last year, you know, shouting pretty disgusting things, driving around the Jewish community about raping their children and all this, and they were carrying Palestinian flags and what have you, and they were arrested and bailed. And then only I think last week in London, there was some Jews on a bus or something in their Hasidic attire, and there were some people again who looked of sort of Arab Middle Eastern descent, and they were, you know, swearing at them and shouting abuse at them and what have you. And so what I'd like to know is where the Jews are coming out and criticizing the likes of Barbara Lerner-Specter when she says, addresses them as a collective, when actually what she's proposing is damaging them as well as the rest of us. So here is the speech, and it's only, as I say, about a minute. Here we go, folks.
As we heard, there are people in Sweden who support Israel and have a deep sense of the injustice of the present situation. It's these people who give hope to those who still believe that things will get better here. One of them is Barbara Spector, a former American who made Aliyah and then, 10 years ago, with the help of the government of Sweden, set up a non-denominational institute of Jewish learning with the Greek name of Paideia here in Stockholm. She believes the current wave of anti-Semitism in Sweden will pass and that Jews have an important role to play in a country undergoing profound change.
I think there's a resurgence of anti-Semitism because at this point in time, Europe has not yet learned how to be multicultural. And I think we're going to be part of the throes of that transformation, which must take place. Europe is not going to be the monolithic societies that they once were in the last century. Jews are going to be at the center of that. It's a huge transformation for Europe to make. They are now going into a multicultural mode, and Jews will be resented because of our leading role. But without that leading role and without that transformation, Europe will not survive.
Paideia.
There you go. So a pretty clear statement there. We've told all these things that you've got your State Department adopting, and we have over here the British government, which is the international definition of anti-Semitism. And the key sort of core of that is, attributing things to Jews as a whole. And of course, she just did. And she said that we Jews are going to be at the centre of immigration into Europe because they're going to become multicultural whether they like it or not. And then we see the results of that, as I just said before I played that clip. It doesn't just affect the native populations of that country, the Germans in Germany or the English in England or what have you, but other communities as well, such as the Jewish community, are being affected as well. So I'll kick that back to Don, and over to you, Don.
Okay, well, I think that you've certainly made some good points here. So where are we going with the Jewish power that we're seeing all around us? Will it really work for them, or is it counterproductive for them? So I guess we'll see.
Now, you mentioned, Andy, that Jews are being attacked in Britain. Are these Muslims doing this?
It seems to be, Jay. It's one of those things that we haven't actually seen. You know, to my knowledge, there has been incidences of physical assault, but they seem to happen more in places like France, you know. But over here, it tends to be more, you know, abuse. Like, as I say, the two incidents that come to mind is some guys driving a vehicle around a Jewish community in London, shouting, abusive stuff, but not actually physically attacking people. And then you had, I think a week or two ago in London, some Hasidic Jews were seen on a bus, and then of course it was filmed. These people that, as I say, appeared to be Middle Eastern, you would assume that they were probably Muslim. I can't say for definite, but these are the people that were coming into the places like Germany, as we know, and these are the people going into places like Sweden. And it just boggles the mind that they're attacking the people that Barbara Inspector says, you know, it's the Jews as a collective, that's her words, are bringing in people that are going to attack other Jews. And it takes us all the way back to what Dr. Hutchenecker said about the business in Europe and how that was hushed up, some of the what went on. I don't think the official narrative is correct. But certainly there were people being locked up, and there was other incidences where you had, I forget the guy's name, but he made that famous statement. He was a senior guy in a Jewish organisation during the Second World War. He said, one cow in Palestine is worth all the Jews in Poland, something like that. And so they claim unity in one sense, but then they don't display it in others. And that's why I think that it'd be valuable if people in the Jewish community come out and criticise these people that essentially are not acting in their best interest as people on the ground. Back to you, Jay.
Well, my favourite anti-Semitic incident happened in 1970 in a London neighborhood called Golders Green. Have you heard of that?
Oh, yes. Golders Green. That is the, if you were going to sort of do a meme about Jews in England, then Golders Green is the one you always pull up. That's been a big Jewish area for
right,
a very
well,
long time.
My favorite drummer, Keith Moon, back in 1970, he had a open top Mercedes that looked like Hitler's, and he got himself dressed up looking like Hitler with a Hitler mustache and a swastika armband, and he had his driver of dressed up as an SS officer, and he had speakers put in his Mercedes, open top Mercedes, and Moon was driven around through Golders Green and announcing over the speakers, all Jews report to the underground station or something like that.
Yeah, I'm aware of that story. Keith Moon was a very good drummer, of course, with The Who. And it was interesting because the bass player from The Who, John Entwistle, he died at the Hard Rock Cafe, Hard Rock Hotel, I believe, in Las Vegas. And I went there and I thought there might be something around that Hard Rock Hotel. You know, this guy died there and all that. And there was no plaques or anything about, you know, this is where he... It was nothing at all. And that was something I learned when I was in Vegas, that there were other hotels where they had... you know, I think there was a fire at one of them and lots of people died and different things like that. But they don't like giving anyone bad news, so they don't have memorials or things like that. And, you know, if there is anything, they position it away from the building. But going back to Keith Moon, lots of stories about him. I remember one that he was, you know, being driven by his driver, and he said he'd operate the gears, and the driver was going really fast, and he whacked it into reverse, and the whole gearbox came through the floor.
Regarding yours,
something like that.
Yeah, Mrs. Worthington. On Wednesday the 23rd, although your baby may be keen on a stage career, how can I make...
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast 2-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
driver, and he said he'd operate the gears, and the driver was going really fast, and he whacked it into reverse, and the whole gearbox came through the floor, something like that. So, yeah, he was a hellraiser, but he paid the price in the end, but he was a very good drummer. I think I'd always recommend people listen to the song Squeeze Box and listen to the way that he drums on that, and he, you know, turns the drum into almost the lead instrument of the song.
He always does that, and, of course, some of the best songs ever are like "We Won't Get Fooled Again." That should be our anthem. Meet the New Boss, same as the Old Boss.
Yeah, and I prefer the single cut of that, actually. I think the single cut's just over 3 minutes, and the album cut's about five or six. But yeah, they did some really good songs, and even after Keith Moon left, there was I wasn't going to bother with albums after that, but You Better You Bet is a good song, and also there's one called I've Known No War off the It's Hard album, and Roger Daltrey's vocal on that is just tremendous, and it just becomes one of my favourites for that, even though, of course, Keith Moon was missed his skills there. But certainly a band that, if you haven't looked into, they're worth checking out and starting off with the greatest hits and then building on from there.
No doubt about it.
Certainly, You Won't Get Fooled Again. You think of those drum rolls that were... I mean, that he was doing a lot more than just keeping beat. I mean, there was an awful lot he was producing there sound-wise. But just to get back a second to, you know, our desire that Jews who are in a position to speak out, that they would speak out. Because, you know, there are a few people who go very, very hardcore, like Brother Nathaniel, like Gilad Atzmon, who it seems that they are doing their utmost to expose the malevolence of Jewish group behavior. You have others, like I mentioned before, some people like Glenn Greenwald and Stephen F. Cohen, who tried to be very, very accurate within, you know, their professional work to be very, very accurate, but did not take steps when they could have been taken, like Glenn Greenwald when he was involved in that conversation about Elena Kagan's white privilege. He could have said something then, and he didn't. And you just wish that they would do more of that. Well, that's it for today, I guess. We have our regular guest, Richard Carey, tomorrow.
Thank you, Andy Hitchcock.
Thank you, Jay. Thank you, John. Thank you, Patrick.
Tomorrow, I'm John Black with my co-host and our special guest today, Andy Hitchcock. Until then.
Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network plus products at the best prices is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.